In the world of dark academia fiction, few novels have sparked as much controversy and fascination as Lords of Pain. This first installment in the Royals of Forsyth University series has developed a cult following among readers who appreciate psychological depth beneath its disturbing surface. With its unflinching exploration of power dynamics, trauma, and twisted desire, the book carries multiple trigger warnings, yet its complex characterization and psychological tension have made it a standout in the dark romance genre, frequently appearing on book talk recommendation lists and sparking heated discussions about consent and redemption in fiction. Story Macbeth's life has been defined by survival since her early teens. As a high school junior struggling with poverty and isolation, she turned to a sugar baby account on an exclusive dating website to escape her increasingly toxic home life. Her daily existence had become a minefield of avoiding her controlling mother, her passive stepfather Daniel, and her cruel stepbrother Killian, who took pleasure in tormenting her. The promise of financial independence seemed worth the risk, until it wasn't. Her carefully constructed escape plan shattered when Killian discovered her secret profile. On a rain-soaked Friday night, while their parents were away, he and his two best friends, charismatic Tristan and brooding Wrath, cornered Story in the basement laundry room of their suburban home. The assault that followed left her not just physically broken, but fundamentally changed. Within days, she fled across the country to an elite boarding school in Massachusetts, using the money she'd saved from her online arrangements. But even there, safety proved elusive. A former client named Ted, obsessed with the idea of claiming her virginity, tracked her down. His stalking escalated from threatening messages to violence, culminating in a deadly confrontation that left Ted dead and Story once again running from her past. 3 years later, desperation and a carefully crafted plan drive Story back to the very predators she once escaped. Now a freshman at prestigious Forsyth University, she strategically applies for the controversial position of lady at the Lambda Delta Zeta fraternity. The role, essentially a live-in servant for the three lords who control the most influential organization on campus, is both coveted and criticized. To her tormentor's shock and barely concealed rage, the demure applicant they know as Mary Macbeth is revealed to be Story, deliberately placing herself back into their sphere of influence. The Lords maintain an iron grip on campus life. Killian Payne, the star quarterback whose perfect image masks a sadistic nature. Tristan Mercer, whose silver-tongued charm and family connections open any door. And Dimitri Wrath Wrathbone, a musical prodigy whose quiet exterior conceals dangerous depths. Initially suspicious of her motives, they debate extensively before voting to accept her application. Each lord has his own agenda. Killian seeks revenge, Tristan craves the challenge, and Wrath harbors complex feelings he refuses to acknowledge. What Story doesn't realize is that they've turned her presence into a sophisticated competition, a points-based game where various sexual acts are assigned different values, all building toward the ultimate prize of claiming her virginity. The shocking twist comes when Story is required to choose one of them as her primary lord. "I choose Killian," she announces to the stunned fraternity gathering, her voice steady despite the tension in the room. Killian, more perceptive than most give him credit for, immediately understands the strategy behind her choice. "It's not because she wants me more," he realizes, studying her carefully blank expression. "It's because she wants me least." This calculated decision sets in motion a dangerous game of cat and mouse, where the lines between predator and prey become increasingly blurred. The relationship dynamics between Story and the Lords reveal layers of psychological complexity beneath the surface cruelty. Each Lord approaches their ownership of Story differently, reflecting their distinct personalities and hidden vulnerabilities. Killian, Story's stepbrother, harbors the most overtly sadistic tendencies. His obsession with Story borders on pathological, sneaking into her room at night, watching her sleep, even leaving gifts of his bodily fluids on her lips. His cruelty masks a possessiveness that predates their current arrangement, stemming from witnessing an ambiguous encounter between Story and his father years earlier. Killian's approach is direct intimidation and punishment, believing he can break Story's spirit through humiliation. "You can't control the year, but you can control the day," Miss Crane, the housekeeper, cryptically advises Story. This wisdom becomes Story's survival strategy as she navigates the psychological warfare of living with her abusers. She learns to find small victories within her captivity, gradually discovering that her virginity, the very thing that makes her a target, also gives her a unique form of power over the lords. The most fascinating psychological element emerges as Story begins to recognize her own agency within her victimization. When Charlene, the previous lady, visits to help Story prepare for a party, she offers a disturbing perspective. Selfish, greedy, spoiled boys love it when girls fight back, suggesting that if it hurts, if it really hurts, tell me who actually has the power there, honey. Then tell me how good it feels to know. This twisted insight becomes a turning point as Story begins to weaponize the Lord's desire against them. Within the Brownstone, manipulation functions as the primary currency. Each character employs different tactics to achieve their goals, creating a complex web of psychological games that blur the lines between victim and perpetrator. Tristan, the most socially adept lord, uses calculated kindness as his manipulation strategy. He brings Story gifts, normal clothes, daisies, cherry Danish pastries, and shows her glimpses of vulnerability through his protective relationship with his twin sisters. His approach proves effective as Story begins to respond to these small kindnesses, starved as she is for any form of compassion. What makes Tristan particularly dangerous is his awareness of his methods. "I can make you feel like you're the most important person in the world with just a look," he once boasted to Killian. Wrath employs a different strategy, using physical pleasure as his tool of control. As a self-described empath, not in the compassionate sense, but in his ability to read and manipulate emotions, he takes pride in giving Story orgasms that leave her confused about her own desires. During their first encounter in his room, he performs oral sex on her against her will, yet brings her to the best orgasm she's ever experienced. This deliberate blurring of pleasure and violation becomes a psychological weapon that undermines Story's sense of self. Story herself is not merely a passive recipient of manipulation. Her decision to apply as the Lord's Lady represents a calculated risk, placing herself in danger to gain protection from the greater threat of Ted. As she adapts to life in the Brownstone, she begins developing her own manipulative tactics, learning which Lord responds to which approach. With Wrath, she offers help with his reading difficulties. With Tristan, she appeals to his protective instincts. With Killian, she weaponizes his jealousy of the other lords. "You can't control the year, but you can control the day," becomes her mantra as she finds small ways to assert agency within her captivity. Perhaps the most disturbing psychological element of Lords of Pain is its unflinching exploration of unwanted arousal and the profound confusion it creates for victims of sexual abuse. Story repeatedly experiences physical pleasure during acts she mentally rejects, creating a devastating disconnect between her body's involuntary responses and her emotional state, a phenomenon that mirrors real-world trauma responses documented by psychologists. During her first encounter with Wrath, Story tries to fight her body's response, but ultimately cannot prevent her physical reaction to his skilled touch. This unwanted pleasure becomes a source of deep shame and self-loathing, complicating her understanding of her own agency and consent. The novel doesn't shy away from this uncomfortable reality, that physical arousal can occur independently of emotional desire or conscious consent, and delves into the lasting psychological trauma this creates. Story's internal monologue reveals her struggle to reconcile these contradictory responses, often questioning whether her body's reactions somehow invalidate her mental resistance. Story's confusion intensifies as the lords employ different approaches to sexual coercion. Killian's outright brutality leaves her feeling violated and angry, providing a clear enemy to resist. Yet Tristan's gentler approach, marked by moments of apparent tenderness and concern, creates more complex and insidious emotional damage. After Tristan helps her reach orgasm following Killian's assault, Story turns away from him with the devastating observation, "If I'm broken, you're the one who broke me." This moment crystallizes how kindness, in the context of abuse, can sometimes inflict deeper psychological wounds than outright cruelty, as it corrupts the victim's ability to trust genuine care and affection. As Story spends more time with the Lords, she begins experiencing moments of genuine desire alongside her trauma responses, further muddying her emotional waters. When Rath helps her study for his exam, she finds herself unexpectedly attracted to him despite her wariness, creating cognitive dissonance between her rational understanding of her situation and her emotional responses. These instances of authentic desire further complicate her emotional landscape, blurring the boundaries between coercion and choice in ways that reflect the complex psychology of trauma bonding and Stockholm syndrome. The novel explores how this confusion extends beyond physical responses to affect Story's sense of self-worth and identity. She begins to question whether her occasional moments of pleasure somehow make her complicit in her own abuse, a common struggle among survivors of sexual trauma. Through Story's internal struggle, the narrative examines how sexual abuse can create lasting ripples of confusion about pleasure, consent, and personal autonomy that extend far beyond the immediate physical acts. The relationship between Story and the Lords exemplifies the psychological phenomenon of trauma bonding, the formation of emotional attachments through repeated cycles of abuse and intermittent reinforcement. Despite their history of assaulting her, Story begins developing complex feelings for Tristan and Rath as they alternate between cruelty and moments of apparent kindness. When Tristan defends Story against fraternity pledges who harass her at a party, claiming her as his property, she experiences a confusing mixture of gratitude and resentment. Similarly, when Rath teaches her how to kiss gently after she admits her inexperience, she finds herself responding to his tenderness despite knowing his manipulative intent. These moments of protection and apparent care create powerful psychological attachments that compete with her rational understanding of their abuse. The power dynamics within the brownstone shift constantly, creating a psychological chess match where control is never absolute. Though the Lords ostensibly hold all the power, Story gradually discovers leverage points, Rath's reading difficulties, Tristan's concern for his reputation, Killian's jealousy. When she performs oral sex on Rath to help him focus on studying, she reflects that the experience feels more like a lady with agency than a toy being used, revealing her growing understanding of power's fluidity. Perhaps the most significant power shift occurs when Story is kidnapped by a rival fraternity. Killian rescues her, revealing a protective side beneath his cruelty. Yet even this act becomes complicated when Story learns the kidnapping was part of an inter-fraternity conflict rather than Ted's doing. The rescue creates another layer of confused gratitude and resentment, further entangling Story in a web of trauma bonds. The novel's central plot device, the Lord's competition for Story's virginity, serves as a sophisticated metaphor for the intricate power dynamics that define campus life at Forsyth University. The Brownstone exists within a complex hierarchy of competing fraternities, each with their own lady or countess, all vying for social and sexual dominance. This system reflects deeper societal patterns of privilege, manipulation, and control, with the wealthy elite treating relationships as transactional encounters rather than genuine connections. The Lords maintain their position through carefully orchestrated displays of power, wealth, and influence. Their brownstone stands as both literal and metaphorical fortress, where they craft elaborate schemes to maintain their dominance. Each fraternity operates with its own set of rules and traditions, creating an intricate web of alliances and rivalries that Story unwittingly enters. The competition for her virginity becomes merely one move in a larger game that has been playing out for generations. when Story discovers the spreadsheet tracking the Lord's game points for various sexual acts performed with her, the calculated nature of their manipulation becomes brutally clear. The document details not just physical acts, but emotional manipulation tactics, with points awarded for making her cry, laugh, or feel safe. The revelation that Tristan and Rath had been coaching Killian that being nice to her works better than cruelty transforms every tender moment into a strategic move. Each kiss, touch, and kind word reduced to tactical advantage in their twisted game. This discovery catalyzes Story's transformation from unwitting pawn to active player. By contacting Ted with photographic evidence of her deflowering, she demonstrates a newfound understanding of power dynamics. She weaponizes her vulnerability, turning her status as victim into a tool for revenge. This calculated decision shows her embracing the very manipulation tactics used against her, proving she's learned to play the game, perhaps too well. The novel's epilogue takes on darker significance as Ted examines property in Southside, methodically planning his vengeance against the Lords. His violent reaction to Story's message, shooting his real estate agent in the head, serves as both character revelation and foreshadowing. This shocking act of violence suggests that Story has unleashed forces far more dangerous than campus politics. The game has evolved beyond the brownstone's mahogany-lined walls into something potentially lethal, with Story now manipulating forces that threaten to spiral beyond anyone's control. The power dynamics have shifted, but the stakes have become infinitely more dangerous. The Lords present carefully constructed personas to the world, each hiding vulnerabilities beneath their displays of toxic masculinity. Their treatment of Story often serves to reinforce their own fragile self-images rather than stemming from genuine desire for her. Killian's sadism masks profound insecurity about his sexual performance and fear of emotional vulnerability. His obsession with Story began after witnessing an ambiguous encounter between her and his father, creating a complex Oedipal dynamic that he expresses through dominance and humiliation. When two sorority girls leave his room dissatisfied, Tristan must smooth over the situation to protect Killian's reputation, revealing the fragility beneath his brutality. Tristan's charm conceals a calculating mind that views relationships as transactions. His protective relationship with his twin sisters represents the only authentic connection in his life, creating a stark contrast with his treatment of other women. When Story confronts him about this hypocrisy, protecting his sisters while hurting other women, he has no answer, revealing a moral blind spot in his carefully constructed persona. Rath's musical genius and sexual prowess compensate for his hidden dyslexia, a vulnerability so profound he threatens Story with violence if she reveals it. His self-description as an empath who can read and manipulate emotions serves as both a skill and a shield, allowing him to control others while maintaining emotional distance himself. The novel suggests that the Lord's cruelty toward Story stems partly from their own traumatic backgrounds. Miss Crane, who knows their histories, cryptically tells Story they are birds of a feather, damaged people who express their pain through different means. Story's virginity functions as both literal plot device and powerful symbol throughout the novel, weaving through multiple layers of meaning and power dynamics. For the Lords, it represents not just a prize to be claimed in their competition, but a symbol of conquest and dominance within their hierarchical world. For Ted, it symbolizes an idealized purity he believes Story promised him, a promise that exists more in his imagination than reality. For Story herself, it transforms from an unwanted burden into a strategic weapon as she gradually recognizes its currency in the twisted social economy of Forsyth University. When Sutton, the countess of a rival fraternity, tells Story that her virginity gives her power and protection that other girls lack, she reveals the complex dynamics at play within Greek life. Sutton's advice to use it to your advantage rather than viewing it as a burden marks a crucial turning point in Story's understanding of her situation. This conversation illuminates how, even within their captivity, women find ways to navigate and manipulate the system that constrains them. Story begins to see how she might leverage the very thing that makes her a target into a source of influence and control. The symbolic importance of Story's virginity extends beyond the personal to the institutional, reflecting broader patterns of power and privilege. The Lord's competition for it represents the commodification of female sexuality within fraternity culture, where women's bodies become tokens in male power games. The various ladies and countesses of different fraternities function as sexual currency in interhouse rivalries, with Story's virginity representing a particularly valuable asset, a form of pure capital in their twisted economy. The novel explores how virginity becomes a focal point for multiple forms of control: social control through reputation, male control through possession, and institutional control through tradition. The Lord's obsession with Story's virginity reveals their own insecurities and need for dominance, while the university's tacit acceptance of these dynamics exposes how deeply embedded these patterns are in institutional culture. When Story ultimately chooses Killian to take her virginity, she does so not from desire, but calculated strategy, selecting the Lord she feels least emotionally connected to, ensuring the act remains painful but emotionally sterile. In this moment, she reclaims some agency within her captivity, transforming from prize to be won into the arbiter who decides the winner. This decision represents both a surrender to circumstance and a subtle rebellion against it, as Story turns the rules of the game against its creators. The symbolism of virginity in the novel ultimately serves as a lens through which to examine larger questions of power, agency, and resistance within patriarchal institutions. Through Story's journey from victim to strategist, the novel reveals how even seemingly absolute power structures contain opportunities for subversion and resistance. The novel concludes with Story's discovery of the Lord's game and her decision to contact Ted, setting in motion events that will escalate in subsequent books. This moment represents both her lowest point of betrayal and her first truly autonomous action, choosing to burn everything down rather than remain a pawn. Throughout the story, various characters offer Story different models for responding to abuse. Miss Crane reveals she stabbed her abusive husband 7 times, suggesting violent resistance. Charlene, the previous lady, advocates finding power within submission. Sutton encourages Story to leverage her virginity as currency. Each represents a different strategy for navigating systems of power that cannot be escaped. Story ultimately creates her own path, neither submitting completely nor escaping entirely. By contacting Ted, she introduces a new predator into the ecosystem, one who may disrupt the established power structure. This decision represents a morally ambiguous form of resistance, fighting cruelty with greater cruelty, manipulation with more dangerous manipulation. The epilogue's shift to Ted's perspective as he murders his real estate agent upon receiving Story's message foreshadows the escalating violence to come. His promise that his vengeance against the Lords will be absolute and without mercy suggests that Story has unleashed forces beyond her control, potentially replacing one form of captivity with another. Yet within this dark conclusion lies a thread of agency. Story has transformed from reactive victim to proactive player, willing to risk everything to break the cycle of abuse. Whether this decision represents liberation or deeper entrapment remains for subsequent books to explore, but it marks a significant psychological evolution from the terrified girl in the laundry room to a young woman capable of weaponizing her own trauma. The Lambda Delta Zeta Brownstone serves as both literal setting and psychological metaphor throughout the novel. Its luxurious facade conceals dark secrets, much like the Lords themselves. The contrast between the formal parlor where interviews are conducted and the basement where Story is publicly humiliated reflects the dual nature of fraternity culture: respectable on the surface, predatory underneath. Story's exploration of the Lord's bedrooms reveals insights into their characters: Killian's immaculate room with a cherished photo of his mother, Tristan's space, dominated by a massive shirtless portrait of himself, yet containing personal photos suggesting hidden depth. Rath's room, filled with musical instruments, reflecting his artistic sensibility. These private spaces humanize the lords without excusing their behavior, adding complexity to their characterization. The brownstone's location, close to the university and overlooking a park, represents the privileged position the lords occupy in campus hierarchy. Their ability to maintain such prime real estate speaks to their power and influence, which extends beyond the fraternity to the university administration and local community. Miss Crane, the housekeeper, functions as the brownstone's conscience, having witnessed generations of lords come and go. Her warning that one day their games will backfire with the wrong girl foreshadows Story's eventual rebellion. Despite her caustic exterior, Miss Crane provides Story with cryptic guidance and represents a potential ally within the hostile environment. As the novel progresses, Story begins claiming space within the brownstone, gradually transforming from intruder to inhabitant. Her decision to contact Ted in the final chapter represents the ultimate claiming of space, inviting an outside force to disrupt the Lord's carefully constructed world, potentially destroying the house that Payne built.